Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, dedicated to accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science worldwide. On the web at MathWorks.com.
We've been reminded this week that we watched the attacks on 9/11 on TV. We watched the news of Osama bin Laden's killing on TV, complete with footage of his compound. And there were so many places to choose to watch it. 50 years ago this month, not so much. That was when Newton Minow delivered his first speech as President Kennedy's chair of the Federal Communication Commission. It was to the National Association of Broadcasters, and it was tough. He wanted to clean up the industry after the quiz show and payola scandals. He also wanted to let TV broadcasters know there was a new sheriff in town, one who would hold them to their licensing agreements. As we read back over the speech, the paragraph that stayed with people seemed almost like a throwaway.
I invite each of you to sit down in front of your own television set when your station goes on the air. I can assure you that what you will observe is a vast wasteland. You will see a procession of game shows, formula comedies about totally unbelievable families, blood and thunder, mayhem, violence, sadism, murder, Western bad men, Western good men, private eyes, gangsters, more violence and cartoons. And endlessly commercials, many screaming, cajoling, and offending. And most of all, boredom.
Did you catch it back there? Vast wasteland. Just think, this was before Jersey Shore. Newton Minow reflects on that speech and today's media landscape in The Atlantic. We have links at hereandnow.org. As Newton Minow joins us from Chicago, where he's now an attorney and professor emeritus at Northwestern. Welcome.
Glad to be with you, Robin.
Boy, when I read that and I saw the phrase vast wasteland just kind of stuck in the middle of that incredible paragraph, and then I learned that that phrase, vast wasteland, which came to describe television for people who disdained it, wasn't yours?
No, I had a lot of help in that speech, and one of my speech helpers had written vast wasteland of junk. And I deleted of junk.
And what did you think of the phrase? Did you think it would take hold the way it did?
I was much more interested in two other words, public interest.
Because you were up there as a 32-year-old father of four, and you were angry. You felt the public interest wasn't being served. And you blast the broadcasters for subjecting children. I mean, this is one of the first times I've seen it pointed out how much television children were watching. At one point you say, think about this. Kids are watching as much television as they are being in school. That's a stunning thing at that time, 1961. But Newton Minow, you know, we know broadcasters weren't happy at the time. The producer of Gilligan's Island named the sinking ship on the show the Minnow after you. But, I mean, did anything really happen? Because we fast forward to today, and it seems much worse.
I wouldn't say that. What you have now is a much wider choice. I felt the government's role should be to expand choice and let the viewer decide. Today, if we now have entire channels devoted to children's service. We have public broadcasting. We have satellite television. So we have a much wider ability to find what you want. If you're a news junkie, as I am, there's much more news on television.
Well, there's certainly so much more choice, but you know the argument that there's the Springsteen song, so many channels and nothing on. It used to be that TV stations were required to have certain programs for disenfranchised audiences to sort of keep their license. They don't have that requirement anymore. The fairness doctrine is gone, which required different points of view. I've always wondered, you know, what does Newton Minow think about television been growing?
I'm a television junkie. I watch a lot of television, and I listen to a lot of radio, particularly public radio.
And we should say you're a past chair of PBS, and you're calling for more federal funding for public radio and television. You know, because of youth, again, it goes back to you think it's a public service.
But the argument today is really not about money, because the federal funding of both public television and public radio amounts to 3 cents per person per day. Not going to get rid of the deficit.
Well, no, many of the people against the funding for public TV and radio feel that taxpayers shouldn't have to pay, even if it's 3 cents a day, for what they see as ideology. You obviously disagree. You obviously think there is a public service in public
radio. Is Sesame Street full of ideology? Our Ken Burns series on the Civil War, is the nightly PBS NewsHour full of ideology.
And you make the point that has been made that there are people in towns that would lose their only source of news and information. They are the ones that rely more on federal funding than, let's say, our station does here in Boston. But I want to get back to that. I really have wondered what you think about how television has grown in the last couple of decades. And, you know, I watch a lot of television, too. I'm, you know, a slave of The Office and Masterpiece Theater, and I love going around the cable channel seeing what I can find. But you haven't been dismayed at networks turning over their news divisions to hour-long programs at night that do just court recreations instead of documentaries?
It's very disappointing. On the other hand, let's say you're a sports nut. If you're a sports nut, you've got ESPN going all the time. If you're a movie nut, you've got movie channels. So the main thing that I tried to do with the FCC was to expand choice, and in that level, we succeeded.
Some of the things you recommend going forward, I just want to touch on them. First of all, you think the U.S. is way behind in telemedicine, that we should take a cue from the military that's really perfected this idea of using technology to extend the reach of the healthcare system. President Obama agrees with you. You think that it is unconscionable that candidates for public office have to buy access to airwaves that are now run by public corporations but should be owned by the public. And you're one that argues that the fact that politicians have to raise this obscene amount of money to pay for reaching voters corrupts the system. What would you do? I mean, the Supreme Court has upheld this. So how would you change that?
The Supreme Court has equated money with speech. If you argue a case in the Supreme Court as a lawyer, you're allowed 30 minutes. Can you go to the clerk's office of the Supreme Court and say, that isn't enough, I'd like to buy 30 more minutes? Of course not.
And by the way, Newton Minow, what do you watch on TV?
My favorite program is CBS Sunday Morning. I watch Masterpiece Theater, and I confess it, I'm a big fan of The Sopranos.
Well, this perhaps explains why you're not seeing the vast wasteland someone might see if, for instance, they're watching The Jersey Shore, which, as you're saying, is their choice.
I haven't seen it.
It's just a little bit down the state line from The Sopranos. Yeah. Newton Minow, again, we'll link you to his piece in The Atlantic and also his famous 1961 speech in which he referred to television as a vast wasteland at hereandnow.org. Newton Minow, thanks so much.
Robin, it's a great pleasure.
Okay, I know I'm going to hear from fans of the Jersey Shore. Bring it. Latest news is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Hinckley, Allen & Snyder, where partners have been giving clients practical legal advice for over 100 years throughout New England and now including Connecticut, online at haslaw.com. And the Institute of Contemporary Art on the Boston waterfront. Discover the power and beauty of new art and ideas, icaboston.org.